I don't want the rocks to cry out in my place. We were made for worship. We were made to praise Him. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise and our worship. He's worthy of you and I giving Him everything. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good singing. At this time, we're going to dismiss our children from age 5 to 11 to Children's Church. It's been a challenging week, is what I hear from the teachers. It's been a great week, but challenging, always challenging the first week of school. But they got through, and it always gets better. It's downhill from here. And then right towards the end of the year, it's uphill again, kind of trying to close out the year. But we're so grateful for our workers, teachers, everyone who labors in the kingdom of God. We know that your labor does not go unnoticed by the Lord, and we're going to reap the harvest. We're already seeing a great harvest, but in time, we're going to see an even greater harvest. We're in the last days, church, and I believe the Lord's doing a quick work. I can see that constantly taking place. Something's happening quick. Different things are taking place across this country, in this particular church, and in other churches. God's just sending money in, and He's sending ministries, and He's getting things ready because I believe He's about to rapture the church. Before I read my text, I want to say this to you. I've had several very concerned about Joe Biden's mandate about the vaccine, and I just want to share with you. I know there's mixed feelings about the vaccine. I don't tell people not to take the vaccine. That's between you and what you feel like you need to do. Others vehemently oppose the vaccine. I'm with you on that. I support you. Everybody's got to do what they've got to do. I've had people say, well, man, I think I'm going to quit my job. Why don't we just hold on? Because you never know. I mean, we live in the state of Texas, and God can intervene for us. Amen. I'm not against it necessarily. I'm against mandates. Don't tell me what to do. Amen? Can I get a witness in the house? We still live in America. So let's pray. Let's pray specifically that God would intervene for us. There's so many that are concerned across the nation, and I know that the Lord can make a way for us. This is a slippery slope. Once you start telling people they have to do something in order to keep their job, I'm going to just tell you what it is. It's a precursor to the mark of the beast. That's what it is. They're saying that you can't keep your job, in some cases, 100 or more employees, if you don't have the mark of the beast. Or not the beast, but that's what they're going to say. Hey, don't tell anybody I said that. Unless you have the vaccine. It's a precursor. You know, right now they can inject you with a chip. Right now, they have the technology, and 2 or 3 days ago, the country of El Salvador switched their currency. They're the only Central American country that has the American dollar as their current currency. They switched it to Bitcoin. Did you see that? All this going, and it's all moving towards that direction, and before long, in time, it's going to be mandated. Paper money is going to be gone. It's going to be a digital currency, and you're going to have a chip in the right hand of the forehead. They're going to scan. It's going to take out your checking account. Don't let that scare you, because if you're ready for the rapture, we're going to get raptured out of this place. Now, if you ain't ready, I'd be terrified. I wouldn't leave this church today unsaved. I'd be getting out of this altar and getting right ready to meet God. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm telling you, I see the handwriting on the wall everywhere. It is taking place. We are going to see. The vaccine is not the mark of the beast. Let me say that very clearly. It's a precursor. Once they start making you, forcing, the mark will be forced upon every man on this planet. When COVID broke out, I said, right when it broke out and it shut the world down, I've never seen anything. And I've always wondered, how is it going to take place? How are we going to get a one world currency? How are we going to do this thing universally? COVID-19 is the only thing that has affected the world universally. Everybody is affected by COVID-19. It has shut everything down. And we are moving very quickly to the one world government the one world currency, and the Antichrist, I believe, will make his appearance right after the rapture takes place. We better be ready. He's coming. He's coming soon. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Skipping down to verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again this morning for the written word of God that is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. We pray, Lord, that you would give us the special anointing this morning that makes preaching effective for those, this one delivering the message and the hearer alike. I pray, Lord, that I would become as an oracle of God this morning, that you would speak by your Spirit. I pray that you would, Lord, quicken every one of us, convict our hearts, show us, Lord. I pray that you would increase our faith today. Lord, we are moving in the last days closer and closer to the rapture. We want to be a people, Lord, when you come back, that we're a people who have believed and trusted and had faith in you. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in advance. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the simple thought, relentless faith. The word relentless means showing or promising no abatement or severity or pace. In other words, being relentless means you keep coming consistently over and over again without stopping. Have you ever been relentless about something? Wherever you have to get it, no matter what the cost, you have to be relentless. You have to push through. You have to press through. You've got to get through no matter what the cost. That's what you and I have got to allow our faith to do in this last hour. The days of just tiptoeing through the tulips are over with. We must be a people that are full of God's Holy Ghost, standing flat-footed on the Word of God, and we must believe God for the supernatural. Ladies and gentlemen, in these last days, we're going to have to get a hold of God. We're going to have to cry out to God. We're going to have to see the miraculous in these last days. We're going to need God to supply the needs for the church, and I can tell you, He is still Jehovah Jireh. He is God the provider. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them who believe. I'm preaching to you this morning on relentless faith. As I study the Word of God, we'll find all throughout Scripture, it permeates, it comes forth all throughout the Word of God, and it is this: faith is the key that opens every door. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the door may be there, but you're not going to get on the inside unless you have faith. We know faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Listen, if you can see it, you can see this pulpit before you. If you can see the answer, if you can hold it, manipulate it, faith has nothing to do with it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then the passage I read, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many of you want to please the Lord today? I want to please the Lord. You can't please the Lord with all these other things. God wants us to believe His word. He just wants us to trust Him. He wants us to stand on His promises. We, as the people of God, we're not going to satisfy God. We're not going to please Him by doing all of these other things and not have faith. We must trust everything that He says. TP, tested and proved in the Word of God. Listen, you can take the Word of God to the bank. You can stand on it because it will never fail you. The Word of God works. It is forever settled in heaven and in earth. The Word of God is true, and we must depend upon His Word. Faith is the key that opens every door. It's the key to the supernatural. We are a supernatural people. We are serving a supernatural God. We're not just going through the motions of religion. We're not just accepting some legalistic law. No, I have life, and that life more abundantly. What is life? It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith unlocks every door into the supernatural. No miracle that you and I are ever going to receive is going to happen by accident. Miracles don't happen by accident. Revivals don't take place by accident. Every revival in the history of humankind can be traced back to a kneeling figure. Every revival in the history of mankind can be traced back to fasting and prayer. Listen, if you have ever been healed in the supernatural, maybe that God's healed you of cancer or heart disease, or maybe your children had fever into the midnight hour and you prayed, I'm going to tell you it took place because somebody had faith to reach up and touch the Lord. And this morning, somebody in this house is going to get a hold of something more than you had when you came in here. God wants to increase our faith. He wants us to walk in the Spirit, and we must be a people who have this relentless faith. Miracles don't come by accident. Faith has to be implemented. While Jesus was on the earth, you can study the Word of God and you'll find that Jesus was grieved constantly when people would not believe him. Whenever those that said that they walked with him and loved him did not have faith to believe for the most simple things, it grieved the Lord over and over again. He was grieved because little faith that was in Israel. But on the flip side, there's nothing that pleased the Lord more than whenever he seen great faith operating in any vessel. He was grieved whenever he seen little faith, and he was very well pleased when he saw great faith. Here it is in a nutshell. Faith believes that God says what he means and means what he says. That's what it all comes down to. Whenever we say we have faith, we believe everything in this book. We believe God's going to do it. Come on, church. It doesn't get any more simple than that. We just believe that he means what he says and says what he means. That's what it all comes down to. God is not a man that he should lie. Don't ever doubt God's word. If God ever gives you a promise, you stand flat-footed on that promise and trust the living God. He is not a man that he should lie, but he is God Almighty. And when God says it, he will do the work. So when we doubt God, we insult his integrity. Think about it. Why is it that unbelief is such an ungodly cardinal sin? You read over and over again, you'll find that unbelief is not just some simple weakness where, oh man, I just can't believe God, just increase it a little bit. Now everything's all right between you and the Savior. No, we are insulting the integrity of God when we fear, when we have anxiety, whenever we don't trust the Lord, when we move out from waiting on the Lord and begin to move into creating something that God is not in. How many times have you done that? I've done that. I've been impatient. I haven't waited on God. What God wants me to do is stand still and see the salvation of God. Listen, don't get ahead of God. Don't get all worked up. God knows what he's doing. Whatever your situation is, whatever you're facing today, God knows what he's doing. Just trust the Lord. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. He'll never leave you, nor will he forsake you, but he will go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. God is not a man that he should lie. That ought to bring a sobering fear to every one of us that we could doubt God, that we would almost insult him thinking that he is not true to his word. I want to just lay this foundation before I preach to you this morning. Either we believe God or we do not believe God. Let's just say it exactly what it is, how it is. Either you believe God's telling the truth or you believe he's lying. Well, Brother Matt, I believe that God will do it. I just don't believe he'll do it for me. Well, that's unbelief. And I can tell you, from unbelief comes every other sin. Oh, listen, whenever you stop trusting in God and believing God's word, you'll allow other things to come in. Compromise comes because of unbelief. What I've got to do is trust what he said. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how it appears. I don't care what the evidence shows. God's still God. You don't operate in the natural, what you can see, but what you can't see. That's where we operate in this faith that is the supernatural. I'm about to make a statement that I'm going to make on the onset of this message, and I'm going to say it over and over again. It's a principle that is true in every situation where we need to implement our faith. Number one, God does not respond to needs. He only responds to faith. God doesn't respond to needs. Well, I am His child. God loves me, and I'm His son, or I'm His daughter, and I just believe He's going to take care of all those needs. No, I'm going to show you something in the Word of God this morning. He doesn't respond to needs. He responds to faith. It's time that you and I get bold and specific in our prayers. Listen, He wants us to come to Him and make requests. Why don't we have things? James says we have not because we ask not. And oftentimes we ask amiss because we want to consume it upon our own lust. I'm going to say it again. God does not respond to need. He only responds to faith. That is the Word of God. It's not biblical that He responds to needs. And I'm going to show you. Many passages in the Word of God reveal this, but I'm going to point out a few. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus was leaving Jericho with His disciples, and a huge crowd surrounded Him. He's traveling down the road, and He hears a cry of desperation. The Bible said it was a blind man. He was blind from his birth. His name was Bartimaeus. He's there and he hears that Jesus is coming by the way. Obviously, he had heard of the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had heard that He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He had cast out devils. He had healed the paraplegic. He was a healer. And he's thinking to himself, oh, I believe so many days if Jesus passes by this way, I'm not going to let Him get by. I'm going to cry out His name. That's exactly what he did. Here's what blind Bartimaeus said. He said, Thou, Son of David, have mercy on me. Let me tell you something. When you and I are in a situation where we need God, these little lay me down to sleep prayers are not going to do. We need to cry out to the Master. Oh, cry out in desperation. That's exactly what blind Bartimaeus did. He cried out in faith. They tried to shut him down. Don't trouble the Master. He's busy. But you know what he did? He didn't listen to those religious voices out there. He cried out louder, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Even louder. This was persistent, relentless faith. He had to push through the voices. He had to push through the pain. He had to push through the doubt. And listen, when he did this, remember, the Lord doesn't respond to needs. He responds to faith. The Bible says in verse 49 of Mark 10, and Jesus stood still. I love that. That's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, because whenever we cry out in faith, in real faith, Jesus stands still. He cares about you. I'm here this morning to remind you He cares about the needs in your life, but He's not going to respond just because they're needs. He wants you and I to operate in faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whenever he cried out, Jesus stood still. Wait just a minute. Were there not other needs all around blind Bartimaeus? Could there possibly have been others with major physical infirmities? Absolutely, positively, without a doubt. Why didn't Jesus meet their needs? Because they did not press through in faith. I'm going to show you this man, Jesus. He longs to help us, but he wants us to operate in this relentless faith. Jesus had set his face to Jerusalem to fulfill what he had been sent to do. There were needs everywhere, yet their needs, everyone else's needs, did not cause him to stop and put a temporary hold on his mission. However, This one blind man cried out for Jesus and would not be quieted. No adversary could shut him up. It was his voice, not the silence of others, that caused the master to stand still. Do you hear what I'm saying to you today? And Jesus gave a specific directive, and it's in Mark 10:49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good comfort, rise." He calleth to you. Let me tell you the good news of the story. He got exactly what he asked for. God healed his eyes. He performed a miracle. Why? Because he went past the need and he moved into faith and he asked the Lord for it. So many of us, we haven't been specific in asking the Lord for the need. It's time that we get specific with God. It's time we get desperate with God. It's time we get relentless and push through all the stuff out there and get to the master. He longs to make our needs. He longs to meet them and to help us in our hour of despair. It's obvious. People were having issues everywhere, and these others did not nurture blind Bartimaeus. In fact, they tried to shut him down. But Bartimaeus could not be stopped in his faith. What did he do? He threw off his beggar's garment, went up to Jesus, and got his answer. And he received his sight. What kind of question, whenever you think about this, why did Jesus ask him what he had need of? Because when you find that he comes up to Jesus, Jesus asks him, "What do you have need of?" Why did Jesus ask him this? What kind of question is this? A blind man who has been escorted to where Jesus is, he can't see, and the Lord Jesus asked him what your need is. Why do you think Jesus did that? Do you think he was trying to insult him or expose him? Absolutely not. Jesus was not doing this, but Jesus wanted to see if his faith was going to be activated. Jesus wanted to see the evidence of his faith, just like he wants to see the evidence of my faith and your faith. Oh, listen, and guess what? Faith always speaks. Jesus said, "What do you have need of?" And listen, what did he say? He said, I have a need to see. Now listen, if blind Bartimaeus would have said, "I know that receiving my sight's too big of a miracle. Will you heal my arthritis in my hand?" I believe the Lord would have healed his arthritis, but he would not have gotten his eyes healed. He said, the Lord Jesus asked the man, "What do you have need of today?" And he said that I might receive my sight. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, we have to get back to the Word of God and find out exactly the way God wants us to come to Him. We need to get specific, church. We need to get bold and specific. We are to come, what? Boldly unto the throne of grace and obtain mercy. He said, I want to see. Oh, our problem today is we pray in generalities. We're not getting specific. Oh, Lord, do this and do that. We just say these general prayers. It's time to start asking the Lord. Lord, will you come down? Will you help us? Lord, will you meet the need and get specific? Tell him exactly what you need. What if he doesn't answer that way? That's okay. But he still wants us to ask him specifically. I recall the years of preaching and praying for people at the altar or in counseling or over the phone, and many times I'd ask someone, "What do you have need of?" And they'd say, "I just want more of Jesus." Well, praise the Lord, that's awesome. But you know something? I've learned that unless you get more specific than that, oh, he's not oftentimes going to answer that prayer. Or what do you have need of? I just asked the Lord to touch my family. Well, touch them. What do you have need of? It's time that we start asking him specifically, what do we need? Oh, listen, what kind of miracle are you longing for today? Come on, church. I'm preaching the word of God this morning. We need to ask him. Why? Because faith speaks. God doesn't respond to needs. He responds to faith. And it's time for you and I to get bold and specific. Let me examine another biblical principle. You know the story of the woman in Mark chapter 5. She was in a crowd. She had been hemorrhaging for 12 long years, suffered many things of many physicians. Jesus was walking through the crowd. How many needs do you think were in that crowd? Do you think anybody had a need in that place? Do you think there was anybody else that were sick or maybe lame or had some kind of physical ailment or some kind of need in their life? I can tell you they were everywhere. They were surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ. They were everywhere. But this woman, she pressed through. The Bible said that she suffered many things of many physicians. That means she had been through a lot. That means she'd been to the doctor over and over again, spent everything that she had, had a whole lot of different procedures tried out on her, and nothing worked. She was broke and she was discouraged. But I can tell you, when she seen Jesus, she knew that he could heal her. Amen. And what did she do? She pressed through and she got to Jesus. And here's what she said. If I can but touch the hem of his, I don't even need to touch his body. If I can just touch the border of his robe, I can be healed. Listen, that's not a thought that Jesus had. That was a thought that the woman had. And she was specific in her thinking. I don't have to touch his body. I don't need anything. I know in my heart, I know in my spirit, if I can just touch the border of his robe, I believe, I trust, I know it's going to happen. And listen, she got through the crowd and she touched the border of his garment. Guess what happened? Virtue, healing moved from Christ to that woman, and she was healed that very moment. Oh, listen to me today. God's waiting on us. Oh, listen, notice she had heard about Jesus. I can assuredly attest that it could have been written she heard in her heart about Jesus. For the heart is the breeding ground of faith. After the doctors had failed to help her, she needed to hear in her core being. She did and had faith to be healed. So she speaks according to her belief. If I can touch his clothes, I will be whole. Listen, I know there's a lot of crazy stuff out there. I understand there's a lot of hoopla in many of our spirit-filled churches, and they've gotten away from the Word of God, all kind of crazy things. But you and I oftentimes, wanting to get back to the fundamentals of the Word of God, we'll move away from the supernatural. Amen? Let me tell you today, God's still a healer. He still works miracles. He is a supernatural God. We can get in the Word of God. We can be a Bible church, a Holy Ghost church, and we can operate in the supernatural. She said, if I can get to him. Notice her exact words was this. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes. Man, that's powerful. Let's look at the rest of the story. Jesus, when he feels the virtue come out of him, he looks around and he says, who touched me? The disciples are like, what do you mean, Jesus? You're walking through this crowd. Everybody's touching you. He said, no, this was different. Remember, Jesus doesn't meet us at the point of our need alone. It's the point of our faith touching him. There were needs everywhere. Why didn't Jesus say it to everyone else that was thronging him? Why didn't Jesus say that about the other ones that had needs in that place? I'll tell you what the difference was. They had needs, but she had a need and she had faith. Amen. That's what I'm preaching today. A relentless faith that pushes through, that presses through. The woman with the issue of blood, don't you know she was weak in her body? Don't you know it was hard to get to Jesus? But she pressed anyway. Somebody in this house this morning needs to learn to press in your weakness, in your discouragement, in the midst of bad news. Press and get to Jesus. I don't have all the answers to give you every time you're going through problems, but I can tell you one thing. If you can get to the Master, oh, listen, if you can just get to Jesus, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Mark 5 and 33, but the woman, when Jesus said this, he looked around and said, who was it? Who did it? But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. God doesn't respond to needs. He responds to faith. Another example in the Word of God. Jesus was teaching the Word in Luke chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 17, it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power, here it is, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I love this word so much. And I love how the Lord specifically says the power of the Lord was there to heal them, everybody in the house. Listen, God's, there's enough healing power. There's enough of Christ's atonement right now to heal every transgression, every sickness in the world today. Listen, all we got to do is trust him. That individual's got to believe God's word. There was enough power to heal everyone in that house where Jesus was preaching. I'm sure a lot of the scribes and Pharisees, they had needs, but they didn't get their needs met. Why? Because they didn't have faith to receive it. However, not all was lost in that preaching service. Because in the midst of this crowd that gathered to hear Jesus, there was somebody who knew he was there that had faith. It was a man that was, he could not walk. And the Bible says in the word in Luke's gospel chapter 5 that this man had to have others pick him up and bring him to that teaching service. They couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd. The crowd was inside the building, packed out. They were outside of the building, packed out. They tried to get to Jesus. They couldn't get to him. So they had an idea. Now listen, relentless faith doesn't give up. It doesn't hit a roadblock and turn around and say, man, I don't guess it's God's will today. No, relentless faith has something in the core of its being that says this, I'm going to get to Jesus. If it's God's will, won't it just take place? Absolutely, positively not. It can be God's will for you to believe, but you chose just to sit by on the wayside and moan and groan. No, God wants us to believe his word. They hit a roadblock, but it didn't discourage him. They started thinking and meditating. And you know what they did? They ended up putting that man on top of the roof, getting up there, all four of them with the man who was lame, and they started breaking up the ceiling, tearing off the top of the roof, breaking it all up. If we can't get in through the door, we'll lower him down through the roof. Listen, some of you have got to get so desperate in your spirit today. When you hit a roadblock, you come up with another plan. I'm going to get to Jesus no matter what it takes. You know the story when the Lord Jesus saw them lowering him down with ropes. His first response was, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know how that riled up that religious world. But shortly after that, he tells him, arise, take up thy bed and walk. The man was instantly healed. The Bible doesn't say this, but I believe the men carrying the stretcher knew what the Old Testament said about the Messiah being a healer. Psalms 103, 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, and who healeth all of thy diseases. Listen to me today. You say, well, I see this one pass away, and we prayed for this one who had COVID-19, and this one we fasted for who had cancer. I don't understand. Listen, some die and some get healed. I don't understand it. But if I die today, he's still a healer. It doesn't change the word of God. He still forgives all my sins, and he still heals all of my diseases. Jesus, the stripes that he bore on his back today are still sufficient for healing. What we need to do is stand on the word of God. God. God is a healer. We need to remind ourselves over and over again. You know what you need to do? Find every scripture on healing in the Word of God. Memorize it. Read it over and over again. Begin to speak that healing. Begin to speak that life. Now listen, if you're sick and you're not healed, don't tear by you healed. Listen, when God actually heals you, speak the word. Mark 7 and 25. Another story. A certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. I'm talking to you today about relentless faith. God doesn't respond to needs. He only responds to faith. Verse 27, but Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now you can slice a pie any way you want to slice this pie. But the truth is, he called her a dog. Jesus called her a dog. She could have been insulted, accused him. She could have been so upset and her feelings so hurt, accusing him of racial prejudice, and stormed away because she was a Greek. But she didn't. Her need was so great, and she knew that her daughter was possessed by the devil. Listen, some of us have children, grandchildren, loved ones that are lost, and they're going to go to hell if they do not get saved. Listen to me. We need to stop wearing our feelings on our shoulders. Amen. We need to do whatever we got to do. Oh, yes, he called her a dog, but her response was, yes, Lord, I may be a dog. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Greek. I'm a Syrophoenician woman, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I can tell you something. That's what got Jesus' attention. He said, this woman not only has a need, but she has some faith that's being implemented right now. I'm talking to you about relentless faith. And relentless faith is always bold and specific. Guess what happened? He said, your daughter is free. She went home. And that little girl that was driven by the powers of hell that could not be helped, she was in her right mind. She was changed by the power of God. Listen, why didn't God just meet the need? It's not the way God operates. God operates when we believe him, when we operate in the realm of faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why don't most people receive from the Lord? I'll tell you why. Now listen, I'm just preaching the word of God. Why don't most people receive from the Lord? James puts it very bluntly, and I quoted it a moment ago, James 4 and 2. It couldn't be any clearer. You have not because you ask not. We're not bold and specific. We just say the prayer and we get discouraged because it doesn't come to pass, and we just give up and we just say this. Sometimes we say it verbally and sometimes we just think it. I guess it's just not God's will. How many times was it God's will, but we're not going to get it because we didn't operate in faith? Listen to me. God wants to move, church. God wants to heal. God wants to deliver. He wants to save. He wants to work the miraculous. We got to stop coming up with these things in our mind. Well, this is que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not mine to see. Oh, it's not going to happen. God doesn't want it. I'll tell you something. If we will align our thoughts and our prayers with the word of God and believe God's word, listen, it's God's will to heal the sick. It's God's will to save the lost. It's God's will to fill you with a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you've got to believe that. But you and I have got to come in faith. We got to press through and get to Jesus. Can someone come to the piano? God doesn't respond to needs. He only responds to faith. I read a powerful story about a very renowned, it's a good ministry. His ministry was in Colorado in 2002 when the worst wildfire in the history of the state hit them. The fire's name was the Haman Fire. It was started by a woman who burned a letter from her former husband in a no-fire zone. In a month, more than 130,000 acres had gone up in flames. It was a catastrophe of enormous magnitude, all because she burned a letter in a no-fire zone. I wonder what the letter said. She's mad. She didn't believe it or something. His apologies, they weren't working this time. A month later, fires are raging. It's destroying everything in its path. This man of God, he flew back into where his ministry was located, and his whole staff, his team, they were up in arms. They know that, man, this is bad. We're going to lose everything. And he said, he began to pray, and the Lord brought to him the story in Mark chapter 11. And he said immediately he went to the Word of God. Now, this fire was raging. I mean, it was coming their direction. It was consuming everything, the Haman fire in 2002. He went to Mark chapter 11, verse number 22, and Jesus answered them and said, "Have faith in God." He said the words, "Have faith in God, have faith in God, have faith in God," just kept ringing in his spirit, "Have faith in God." So he knew where it was, so he went to Mark chapter 11 and he read the story that he had read over and over again. Verse 23, Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Sounds kind of charismatic, don't it? It's the Word of God. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Doesn't get any plainer than that. He reads this to his staff. And then he asked the question, did Jesus say we are to ask God to remove the mountain? Or did Jesus say we are to speak directly to the mountain? And they responded, "Well, the Lord said that we are to speak directly to the mountain." He said, "Let's do it." He said, let's begin to pray. But he said, "But before we start," he said, "I want to make a list, a specific list of what I want God to do." They begin to make a list. The first thing on the list, first, let's agree that our buildings will not burn. None of it. Next, he said it would be wrong to believe that God wants to save our buildings and then watch all of our neighbors suffer loss. And he had 3 and 4 and 5. And then the number 6 one was, let's all pray that God will send a rain and put this fire out. Now, there was no rain in the forecast. Those 6 specific prayers that they got together and they began to cry out to the Lord and pray, he said instantly, one after another, every single thing they asked the Lord to do, he did it. Does it always happen that way? It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes God will do it in a different way. But we have not because we ask not. I gave you 4 examples of specific things. What do you have need of? Blind Bartimaeus, that I may receive my sight. I promise you, I do not believe that if he had asked for sight, if he had asked that the Lord heal his arthritis, I don't believe God would have healed his sight. He doesn't respond to needs. He responds to faith. If he responded to needs, he would heal everyone without him even asking, without him even believing. But over and over again, what grieved Jesus the most was a lack of faith. What touched his heart the most is those who would just believe, who had faith as the grain of a mustard seed. And that's the next verse after he said, "Speak to the mountain. If thou have faith as the grain of the mustard seed, you could speak it and it would come to pass." You know, there's a lot of prayers I prayed that didn't get answered, many prayers I prayed that did, it's not going to stop me from praying. I'm not going to give up, not giving in, not throwing in the towel, and you don't need to do it either. It's time that we get bold and specific. Amen? I'll never forget. You've heard the story, but I'm going to tell you again. Out there in that foyer, I called Red Dot Metal Buildings that day. They came out to look. That foyer out there, it was too small. The bathrooms, one person in each bathroom. Men's and women's locked the door. The Spirit of the Lord dealt with me to call the metal building company. He came out on a Wednesday. He talked to me. We looked at everything, concrete, plumbing, everything. He said, it'd probably be over $100,000. So that day I met with Brother Kenneth McDaniel right before the service started. We had prayer meeting at 6 o'clock, and we came in here and prayed. But before prayer meeting, I told Brother Kenneth, I said, I want to meet with you board members and just look at this. I don't want to get a loan on it. We can save the money. And I said, let's pray. He said, amen, let's go in there and pray. I said, but listen, let's pray. Let's pray that God would have somebody just write a check. Isn't that awesome, man? Let's just pray God will have somebody write a check for $100,000. Ain't nothing wrong with that, amen? We walked into this service. Same day I called Red Dot Metal Building. Did not announce to anybody in this house what we were going to do or what we wanted to do. And the platform is whenever the sanctuary was half the size about 10 years ago. And so this platform is a different pulpit. It was about right here where this second or third pew was. Platform's over on this side. The kitchen's back there. And I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, if it's your perfect will for us to do this, will you touch somebody's heart to write a check? And then I prayed that one prayer and just started praying for the people of the church, praying for the service. That night we had a small crowd. Probably on that Wednesday night a decade ago, it was probably 40 people here. We came to the altar after the service, prayed, and we're out in the foyer, and Brother Kenneth comes and gets me and goes, I said, what is it? He said, we got a big problem. I went, oh man, what is it? Busted pipes. What? Tell me. And we came in the office. He shut the door and he handed me a check for $110,000. I looked at the check and I said, "You're lying. Is this a joke?" He was a little red tint in his face. Him and Brother Oscar were in there counting the money. I said, y'all are joking with me. This ain't funny. He said, no. I looked at the check, read it again, $110,000, and the check literally scared me. I went, whoa, that's God money right there. That's God money. Oh, my. And I said, man, that's almost scary right there. The Lord touched somebody's heart without us even saying a thing. Because I got specific. It's time to get specific, church. And then listen, does it always happen that way? I've prayed that prayer several times since then. It ain't happened again like that. Oh, I can tell you. But I wish it would. But God knows the need. He knows what we have need of. It's time to get specific. What do you have need of? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Can we stand? I'm going to ask you to do this morning. But I want you to do this tomorrow in your prayer time. This morning, I want you to make a list of three things that you need the Lord to do for you. It's time to get bold, and it's time to get specific. God doesn't respond to needs. He responds to faith. The other day, we had we had about three or four prayer requests. Remember we had our prayer service on that Sunday night? And specific needs. I had people call me and say, God met that need. Somebody had a financial need. And the moment they put it up here, thousands of dollar financial need was met. We prayed for someone who has not served the Lord, as far as I know, all of her life, or maybe since she was a little girl, I don't know. And we prayed for that lady. We put our hands on this table and she came to God. Listen to me. God hears your cry, but you've got to cry out with a relentless faith. It's time to push through to believe God's word. Make a list. I want you to make a list of three things this morning that you have need of. And we're going to come to this altar and you're going to lay it. We're going to stand across this front. But I want you to present it to the Lord. And I want you to ask Him specifically for those three needs. And then tomorrow, when you get in your prayer closet, I want you just to make a list. You make it as long as you want. And start talking to the Lord. He cares about you. Oh, listen, God cares. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can we come and stand around the front of this church? Three needs I want you to bring to this altar this morning. Specifically, three needs. And I want you to tell the Lord about it. And I want you to put those three needs on your list tomorrow. And I want you to begin to cry out to the Lord every day specifically. Lord, this is what I want. Now listen, we want to pray according to the will of God. God ain't going to give you something whenever you're going to consume it upon your lust. If you're praying with the wrong motive, you're praying with the wrong spirit, you have selfish desires, forget about it. You're not going to get it. The motive of the heart, God looks at that motive. Why do you want it? What's the purpose of it? We need to pray, first of all, Lord, align my will with your will according to the word of God. James said, we have not because we ask not. Many times he said, we ask amiss. We ask out of the will of God to consume it upon our own lust. I'm going to pray for a helicopter. You don't need no helicopter. Talk to the Lord this morning. Can we bow our heads? Let's just begin to talk to Him specifically this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you see every need in this house. You care. Lord, all you are asking for is that we just believe you. Lord, so many times I have doubted in my heart. So many times I've looked at the situation as an impossible situation. Oh God. So many times instead of waiting upon the Lord, I moved out of the will of God and did things in my own time, my own way, my own selfish desires. Oh God, I ask you to forgive me today. I ask you, Lord, for myself and for this congregation, to let our will begin to be aligned with your will in the word of God. We want our heart to be your heart. Lord, we want to be joined with you in every way. Lord, to do it for the right reason, the right way, to have the right motive, the right desires, oh God. We want to bring glory to you in everything that we do. Just talk to Him, ask Him that right now, that your will be aligned with His will, that your thoughts would be filtered through the Word of God, that we would have pure motives and a pure heart before Him. Oh God, try me to see if there be any wicked way in me. Holy Ghost, help us today. Help us. Now I want you to specifically ask the Lord. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe the word of God? Let's get specific today. Let this be the first, if it's been a long time since you got specific with Him, name it. Name the person. Name the situation. Tell Him in detail what you have need of. Tell Him what you have need of this morning. God does not respond to need. God responds to faith. How do I get that faith, preacher? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God gives us a measure of faith. Do you want your faith to increase? Begin to read the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Walk in the Word of God. Your faith will begin to increase. Church, God wants to move in our midst this morning. He wants to answer the cry of your heart, but He wants you to believe Him. Come on, let's cry out with a loud voice this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Father is waiting in the water. Oh, and every step I take is a step of faith. When I can't see what's in front of me, I'll walk on and just believe. He hears my prayer, and when waiting,
get specific with Him. Tell Him exactly what you have need of.
A helpless man, blind from birth, the only one who saw.
Name the infirmity.
His birth didn't pass.
Name the need. Hallelujah.
He heard.
Oh, yes,
cry.
Lord. Move close to somebody. Let's pray one for another. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Mighty God, you know how to meet every need in our life. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would heal, that you'd bring life, that you'd answer, that you'd make a way where there seems to be no way. In the name of Jesus, meet the need in this house today. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, you are a specific God. You hear the cry of our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm telling it to you because you know the need. Come on, church. Talk to the Lord. Name it.